Todd Harrison is Senior Fellow for Defense Budget Studies at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. Todd, you've been studying the commissary issue for a while now. Explain what the commissary system provides for men and women in the military.
Sure. The commissaries are essentially DOD-run grocery stores that provide groceries to service members and their dependents and retirees at a discounted rate. And the level of discount the commissaries provide right now is about 30% when you compare a specific brand name item bought at the commissaries to that same brand name item bought off-base at a regular grocery store. So it's a substantial savings. But that does come at a cost, and the commissaries right now, that providing that subsidy, that discount, is about $1.4 billion a year in the defense budget.
You write in some of the notes that you sent that they use that money to subsidize, as you say, the products so that people in the DOD, people in the military system can buy them more cheaply. What is the Pentagon proposing right now to do with the commissary system to try to save money?
What they're proposing in this budget request is to scale back that subsidy over the next 3 years. And over 3 years, it would go from about $1.4 billion a year down to about half a billion a year. So it would save about $1 billion in the annual defense budget, you know, in perpetuity. Now, when they do that, that means that the groceries won't be as discounted as they have been in the past.
Now, that seems to be kind of a middle ground between where some members of Congress are and where the military advocacy groups are. The advocacy groups are saying, don't touch this. This is part of the contract that was promised to men and women in uniform when they signed up. There are some members of Congress that are saying this program is outdated because now you can go to Costco and the prices are not that dramatically different between some of the discount retail grocery providers and the commissaries, especially with companies like Walmart and Target now in the big food business. Where does this fit into the benefit portfolio for members of the military based on the research that you've done on the entire scope of benefits?
Yeah, well, so this clearly is part of the overall compensation package for service members and for retirees. And don't forget that retirees are many of the shoppers who frequent the commissaries. And, you know, this is something that people have gotten used to, but the question is it an effective form of compensation, or could those dollars be spent more effectively on some other form of compensation? And, you know, I think we're missing some key pieces of data right now in order to answer that. And primarily, we need to know who's really taking advantage of the commissary benefit. The survey and the report that I did 2 years ago looking at how can we rebalance military compensation, what we found is that officers valued the commissaries much more than enlisted. And, you know, that was just preliminary data, you know, a trial study, not a randomized sample. But, you know, what we need to understand more is really who's shopping there and who's getting this $1.4 billion in subsidy. And I think we're actually going to know that soon, because I understand that DOD started requiring the commissaries to swipe IDs of people when they make purchases. And when you collect that data over several months, we should be able to see exactly who is shopping there. Are they active? Are they reserve? Are they retirees? Are they dependents? What ranks are they? And how much are they shopping there? How much are they buying? How much of that subsidy are they getting?
Todd Harrison of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. What do you propose that DOD do with that data once they have it? And how would that data influence, in an ideal world, the way that they make decisions about what to do with commissaries, Todd?
You know, I would aggregate that data, obviously, to remove, you know, any, you know, personally identifiable characteristics in it. But then I would make it public, and I would go and I would show members of Congress, look, you know, here's who's getting the benefit right now. And I think we're likely to find that many of the people who take advantage of the commissaries the most are retirees and dependents of retirees and officers. So, you know, the people that you normally think of as potentially benefiting the most from subsidized groceries are, you know, people in the lower end of the pay scale, junior enlisted in particular. We may very well find that they aren't shopping there at all. So, you know, the intended beneficiaries of this benefit may not actually be benefiting.
Is it possible that once that data is collected, that Congress will be willing to then do something along those lines with it? Because it, the desire in Congress to eliminate the commissary system or scale it back considerably is certainly not universal.
No, and I think, you know, armed with this kind of data, DOD can make a much stronger case to Congress if, in fact, the data supports what they're proposing. And, you know, it really could undercut some of the arguments of industry groups in particular, you know, those who sell products at the commissaries. It could really undercut some of their arguments for why this is an important benefit for military personnel. So I think it does have the potential to shift the debate in Congress a bit.
That's where I wanted to go next, Todd. Beyond the military advocacy groups, beyond members of Congress who are either opposed to or in favor of continuing the system the way that it is, and the Pentagon who's taken the position that they want to scale this back, what are the other players that are involved here, and who is pushing either for or against making changes to the commissary system?
Well, so the commissaries debate is interesting because it involves another set of industry participants that we don't normally think of as part of the defense industry, and those are the major, you know, companies that produce the items you buy in commissaries, companies like Procter & Gamble and Pepsi and you name it. And they actually have a significant, you know, say in this because the commissaries are important to them. Because the commissaries do not sell generic products that compete with these brand name products. And, you know, that's by design. And when we talk about the savings you get at a commissary, it's comparing the those name brand products to name brand products you would buy at a regular retail store off base. It does not, you don't get that 30% savings when you compare to a generic product that you would buy at Walmart or discounted wholesalers like Priceco. Or Costco, I mean. And so, you know, it really is a unique opportunity for a lot of these brand name producers to get their products in front of people where they can buy them below cost and build brand loyalty that then extends to when these folks shop off base or when they leave the military. So that's why I think it's actually very important to those companies to try to preserve the commissaries.
What else should we pay attention to as this debate unfolds, Todd? And is it possible that other players will come into an advocacy role about this one way or the other?
Well, you know, this is one where some of the, you know, veteran service organizations may be a bit split on how they view it among their members once they, you know, examine this more closely, because not all members of the military benefit from the commissaries equally. You know, and you know, plenty of bases, the commissaries aren't that well located or there are more attractive alternatives off base. And as I said before, you know, retirees may be some of the most frequent users of the commissaries. And so some of the veteran service organizations tend to be more dominated by military retirees. Some of them are more dominated by veterans who are not necessarily retirees. And some of them are dominated by more junior personnel that have served more recently in Iraq and Afghanistan and may no longer be in the military and also not be retired. So I think that the memberships of these different organizations are going to have different views depending on their makeup.